was abrupt. Somebody must have jumped into the chat or something. Yeah, Gelsman jumped in. That's what it was. So, hey, everybody. It is Friday, so TGIF. Let me get the camera on here. There we go. And going to talk about something interesting tonight. I got an email the other day with an article was talking about a DOD report that had came out with some and they were looking at the XM-17, XM-18, the SIG pistols that the Army adopted to replace the M9. They were having some issues. I thought, wow, that's that might be interesting to talk about, because back when all of that was going on, there was a lot of conversation over that. So we're gonna touch on that, talk about that a little bit, the problems they're having, and then we're gonna look at some of the options that were available back then, and then maybe weigh the decision they made. Was it good? Was it bad? That sort of thing. We are live on YouTube, and we're simulcast over on Gun Channels. So let me get the Gun Channels link over there on the YouTube side for you guys. Be sure to check that out. It's free to join. Live lobby chats pretty much 24/7. All types of shows and content and conversation and everything else over that way. So if you're into firearms and that sort of thing, I think you'll enjoy it. Speaking of Gun Channels, I'll jump over there real quick. And not real sure who all we got in the chat with us that's over there. So if I double up, then that's fine. Looks like Fine 8, Pink, Cycle Camp, Gizzard, Andrew, Flippy, Scott, Pants, Nodak, all hanging out over there on the Gun Channel side. And then on the YouTubes here, if I pop it out, Andrew's in the house. My wife's here with us. Calderas is here. Fine 8, Gizzard, Grim, Gunpowder, Link, Mohawk Boy is with us, Hemi, Ozark Patriot, Rich, R.L. Scott, Chevelle, and Vandal, and I'm sure there'll be more to pop in as the notifications get out there, assuming that YouTube even does that. Yeah, I've got that new YouTube layout, and No, I did an upgrade on the browser and it come up with this, and I don't know that I'm liking it, to be honest with you, but let's kick it through the panel real quick. Let everybody say hi and do what they got to do. We'll start with John. What's up, John?
Hey, Clover. Thanks for the invite. Glad to be here, and thank you everyone for joining us.
You bet, man. And Tardot is in the house with us. Evening, Tar.
How's it going? Thank you for the invite.
Anytime, brother. Anytime. Mr. Rick, Rick's Life as hey. I See It.
Hey, nice to see you. Thanks for the invite.
Have you hit 100 yet, Rick?
No, I'm I believe close. I'm 8 shy.
Okay. All right.
Let's make that happen tonight, guys.
Let's make that happen. If you're out there, you're not sub to Rick's Life as I See It, go over there and check his stuff out. Night Strike, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm well.
It's good to know.
You had a little impromptu chat earlier.
Well, yeah, you know, I still need to work on the whole language bit, and I'm trying, but some of those guys out there on the chats, they do test you.
Yeah, healthy critique.
Yeah.
Stop saying when you do it. Stop saying I'm sorry. Just move on.
Okay.
Matt's with us again for 50 Cal. How are you, Matt?
Oh, I'm outstanding, gentlemen. I'm, you know, having a good day, having a good night, and everything's going well.
Sweet. And Gelsman's with us. How are you, bud?
Oh, not too bad. Thank you very much for being on the show earlier, Clover, and thanks for the invite. Next time I'll wait till after the music, because hey, lag.
yeah, I don't know why, but it you know, I'm wondering if I don't, it's probably my fault. I think if I locked on myself when I did that, it probably wouldn't kick it out. So, I mean, it's fine. It is what it is. And right. Ghost is in the house with us. How are you, Ghost?
Good. Thanks for having me. Just got home. Sorry I missed earlier shows, but I'm assuming they all went well tonight. I think you had Budget Guns and Gear came on, and then Gelsma had his, and Night Strike had a little chat.
Yeah, he.
I was calling a basketball game, so I literally just walked in the door. But thanks for having me.
Interesting. You bet. And yeah, this may be an interesting one. I know we've got.
I'm interested in it.
Oh, we've got several veterans on the panel, so this is going to be. This may be interesting. So, let me just scroll through, make sure that we don't have anything absolutely pressing out in the chat. I know they like to talk among themselves and all that, and that's kind of the beauty of having the chat out there. So, by all means, it's kind of like you can hang out while you're listening to the show or watching the show. So, everything looks good. So, we're going to move on. Let me grab this link. This is from Business Insider, but I mean, there's several articles on this out there. This just happened to be the one I got in an email. So now YouTube may or may not work that link correctly. I'll drop it also on the Gun Channel side, and I know it'll work probably without fail over there. So, and then that's the link to the article. And then another thing is, I'll go ahead and copy the link to the report here too. That way you can see that this is not fake news. I mean, there's a DOD report on it, so this is happening. This is real. Whether it's a big deal or not is up for discussion, but it is happening. So let's dive on into the article here. And this article was written by Jared Keller. From a group called Task and Purpose, and it's titled "The Army's New Handgun Already Has Some Serious Problems." And it says just over a year after the Army selected Sig Sauer's P320 9mm pistol for its new XM1718 modular handgun system program to replace the Beretta M9, the branch's new sidearm is showing some serious problems, according to the new Department of Defense report released this month. The Pentagon's overview on its gear and tech programs in 2017, conducted by the Office of the Director of Operational Test and Evaluation, wow, that's a mouthful, and released earlier in January 2018, indicated that both the XM-17 and the XM-18 pistols demonstrated a series of persistent problems, including accidental discharge, ejecting live ammunition, and relatively frequent stoppages when firing ammunition encased in a full metal jacket. Even worse, the report recommends the Army engineer some fixes upon identification of the root cause of the ejection issue, a statement that indicates the branch hasn't yet identified the source of the issue. This could be a big problem for the Army, which started fielding the new pistol on November 28th, with the 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell. As part of its 10-month rollout, the modular handgun system will head downrange with soldiers assigned to Critical First Security Force Assistance Brigade when the experimental new battalion deploys to Afghanistan in the spring. And though the report notes that the ammo stoppages had minimal operational impact on the operator's ability to fire and continue the mission, the presence of errors may make some soldiers deploying with a new sidearm nervous, you think? It's likely, however, that one of Sig Sauer's competitors will end up more steamed than the Army itself. Shortly after the branch awarded its $580 million modular handgun system contract, program contender Glock filed a protest with the U.S. Government Accountability Office, claiming that U.S. Army Material Command improperly failed to complete reliability testing on Sig Sauer's compact XM-17 entry. The complaint was thrown out, but the GAO's judgment in June of 2017 suggests that the branch ended up selecting Sig Sauer's entry due to its relatively lower price point for a two-gun proposal than offered. Overall, the best value to the government. It now appears that the Army is getting what it paid for. safety defects like those reported by the Office of Director of Operational Test and Evaluation have cropped up in the months between the GAO's decision in June and the Pistol's initial fielding in November. Several videos posted online show the commercial SIGSIR P320 firing when dropped, a defect that became evident in January 2017 when a experienced officer with the Connecticut Police Department Special Response Team was shot in the leg after his pistol discharged upon hitting the ground. How the government report will affect the fielding of the XM-17 and XM-18 to soldiers remains to be seen. But the impact of the report won't stop with the Army. In May, Pentagon officials stated that the Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps were interested in adopting more than 220,000 M17 pistols between the three of them. Hopefully, the Pentagon will figure out what's wrong with its vaunted new handgun before fielding a sidearm to military personnel beyond the Army. Now, just for reference, I pulled up a list. I was kind of curious what was in the running, and we don't know. I mean, some of these were confirmed to be in the running for that contract, and then some of them were just rumors. And as I go through this list, I think you'll probably easily be able to pick out which ones are rumors. But it was confirmed that the Beretta APX was in contention. They threw a bid.
Are they also trying to push the M9A3 as well?
I don't know. I hadn't got through the whole list yet, but I don't see it on the list here. Beretta. No, that's the only Beretta. It's the APX. The CZP09 MHS was a confirmed option. FN, and this has unknown model, but it is confirmed that FN threw a pistol in the testing. Glock, obviously with the 17 and the 22. The H&K VP9 and the VP40 were rumored to have submitted for that. The Chris Sphinx was confirmed. Obviously, the SIG P320. The Smith & Wesson M&P.
The M&P 2.0 that we know it today was the design that they had sent in as their military design. And when they dropped out of it, they didn't release it to the public.
Yeah.
2.0 was.
Yeah, and it says here they dropped out of they. It's confirmed.
They knew that there was no way that they were going to get it. Yeah,
yeah. And it actually says in here they dropped out of contention. But anyway, the company we shall not mention was also rumored to have an XD model in the running.
You're kidding.
That's what it says here. Really? STI is confirmed. STI is confirmed to have a pistol in the running. Taurus, there's a rumor that Taurus, had a pistol in the running, and Walther as well is rumored with the PPQ. So some of those obviously rumored or jokes. I mean, the FN, the HK, maybe the CZ, the Glock. I mean, all of that stuff could potentially have been a contender and a better choice. I don't know. So what I want to do now that we've gone through and we kind of know what's going on with all this, I want to just run this through the room real quick and get thoughts on this. I mean, we're what, a year, I guess, or so, from the 320s, you know, when they were doing all the dropping and checking all that out, and we're months, I mean, 6 months, 8 months into, you know, the DOD's decision to, what in the world's going on here? Geez, going live. Wow.
So you went live?
Yeah. The DOD's decision to to go this 320, and now we're starting to see issues. So we'll start out with John. What do you have any thoughts on this, John?
I'm just gonna say a government contract's a government contract. They're gonna go to the lowest bidder. I don't trust it one bit because of the politics and the money that's involved. Same thing that happened with the last one. The one before that and the one before that. So I don't trust them when it comes to money and politics.
What I find weird, and in that article when it talks about, you know, budgeting and yeah, coming down to the money, they got a better offer from SIG. I find it weird. It's Glock has has consistently beat out, as far as money, as far as cost, the competition for many, many, many years on many, many, many bids. So, you know,
do you think maybe they've spent more money than they had, so they can't afford to spend any more?
Remember, during this whole thing, Glock was super salty that that Sig got the contract, and Glock was making a lot of noise about it.
Well, that's true, but you read in this article why. And the why was, there was supposedly the SIGs weren't being tested on the same level as what this says. That's what Glock claims anyway. They submitted a thing.
I've actually heard that before. They knew the bid was going to come in light, and they did not want to disturb that bid.
Right. So
better keep your mouth shut and let them do what they're going to do. Yeah, exactly. Right. Most.
Yeah, that's what they're saying now, that maybe the Army's getting what they paid for, and that's a good point. You got any thoughts on it?
I agree with John on that. You know, you can't really trust the government contracts. Yeah. I mean, I know to a point you got to look for the better deal, but when it comes down to something that people are defending their lives with, you can't really go to that. And at that, you know, back when they were talking about the drop testing issues, I was one of those people that, you know, I saw a bunch of the videos out there that were showing those drop tests as, you know, showing the issue happening, and a lot of people saying, well, it was just a trigger issue. And that was the big thing, is if it was the trigger issue and the military was getting the ones with the better trigger, that Apex trigger, that lighter trigger, then they shouldn't have that issue. But now that they're showing all three problems, yeah, I see where this has kind of come back to bite them in the butt.
Potentially, sure. Scott out there is talking about the APX was probably the only true competitor, he's saying, but it had a lot of problems, obviously, because it didn't win out, so... something was going on there. Ozark says the PO9 would have been awesome for the military. Wish they had gone with them. It's kind of hard to go wrong with that PO9 for sure. I'm not real sure what Hemi's getting at out there, but seems like he's wishing they would have just stuck with the 92 and been done with it. So,
well, and they definitely had a lot of better options out there. Yeah. To put down SIG, but
I mean,
like we said, the if you get what you pay for, you go for that cheaper price, you're not going to get the same quality that you would at the little bit higher price.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, was there anything wrong with the M9? I mean, it wasn't necessarily anything wrong, but I mean, we're talking about, I mean, the military is going to move forward with innovation and all of that, and the M9 is just not modular. You just don't have that capability, and that's, you know, that's just something that they were looking at adding the mix. So, what we got, Mr. Rick, you got some input on this?
Well, somebody said, you know, government contracts, you know, how much they say, 560 million. There's more than likely in the small print where if there's issues like this and the SIG fixes them, they're paying more for them. You know, because I remember one time talking about government contracts. I know, totally different thing. We had a brand new commissary built, brand new meat department. They built the floor and the drains went uphill. But it was within the percentage of what the contract allowed from the degree of the tolerance of the floor. But we had to repay the same company to come in and refix them. That's how government contracts work.
Right. Well, I mean, they're not in here. They're not talking about SIG. They're talking about the, you know, whatever it says somewhere about the Army engineers. You know, it recommends to the Army engineers some fixes. So, I mean, the armorers basically are going to figure it out and deal with it.
Or SIG will before they send them in, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if there's a problem, yeah, factory issue of some sort, then yes. That or SIG will send some replacement parts, I'm sure, and probably bill them for it, like you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Not Strike. I know you're going to have opinions out the wazoo. So.
Yeah, but my opinions are going to be on point on this. Okay. I think it's the Army's getting ahead of themselves again, because if you look back, you know, during the late 90s, the early 2000s, when we started getting into Iraq, Afghanistan, and all that, they were still going on with the XM8 and the objective individual combat weapon program. You remember that? Where they were trying to turn, you know, a ton of rifles into just one rifle use all. Right. They're trying to do the same thing with the modular handgun system by changing out all the handguns that they have into just like one model, the P320, in different calibers, which that's actually not that bad of an idea, but it's still a bad idea to try and, you know, turn it one gun being the end all for the entire military. Yeah, it's a bad idea.
Into, yeah, turning it into a multi-tool is a bad idea. No, yeah. It's kind of like that old saying, what do they say, jack of all trades, master of none?
It's like they don't want to let go of that OICW, so they're just going to try and get it into a handgun instead and then go from there and see if it works. Then we can restart the OICW program. No. But on this, it may just be, quality control with SIG.
That's a possibility. I mean, who knows?
It may just be that they had a couple batches and they're eating it right now because of quality control.
But we all know, I mean, you're talking about, you know, they say nearly a quarter of a million, between the other branches. So, you know, it doesn't say in there, and I don't know how many the Army bought from SIG, but you know, if they're giving them a low price, you know, I know that any other manufacturer making any other product, when they have some type of a bulk bid system like that, then typically they start cutting costs somewhere. So it would be interesting to know if changes were made, and it'll come out if changes were made to meet that bid requirement that they had to come in underneath whoever it was.
I can totally agree with that. To SIG has had, and with all the time spent in court with the last bid,
right,
that they didn't have the budget they needed to make what they wanted to this time.
Right.
The last point I want to make on this is, okay, we're gonna step back and look at the gun that this is replacing. Okay, if you know the history of the Beretta 92 FS M9, you'll remember that when they started the trials and whatnot, the early 92 Fs, I believe it was, had a habit of, after like, I think it was like 10,000 rounds, you know, there were instances where the slide would, half of it would break off and hit somebody in the face.
Oh yeah, that was still happening when I was in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So they had to rework it, redo the alloy on the slides and whatnot, and then we got the 92 FS M9. But there were issues with the M9 right off the bat. It wasn't perfect either at first. So we may just be going and looking at, like, this is the first version that has problems. The next version might not have problems.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Matt?
I actually do have, you know, a couple of points to make on this. And the first is that we're making kind of a big to-do about the very least important weapon system in the military. You know, if you're going for your pistol, A, you're already in a terrible situation. B, something terrible has happened to your rifle and the rifles of everybody around you. And C, you've made a terrible choice somewhere along the way. I only had to use mine once, and it was the M9, and it worked just fine. I think that instead of replacing the whole system, they should have just updated, gone to the M9 A3, because you don't need a modular system for something that's really used maybe once every 30, 40 engagements. One guy may pull his pistol.
The military denied the M9A3. They didn't want it.
Yeah, they did. But the point is, that's all they should have done. They don't need a modular pistol system. That's a dumb thing. Operators are always going to use what they want anyway. They're not going to stick with the standard issue. They're going to get what they like. Instead, you're just sticking, you know, Joe Snuffy with a new piece of plastic garbage that he doesn't need all that with. We don't need to upgrade the armory. We need to upgrade the armory with the same thing. They just need new stuff that isn't busted and worn out from, you know, 30 years of continuous war with the same weapons.
Right. Great point.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Gelsma.
Well, there's not too much left for me to touch on, really.
Right.
But I'm going to kind of go against what Matt's saying. I think the modular system's great, because not everybody is 6'2" and, you know, 220 pounds. They're, especially in the Air Force, we had a lot of female officers that were very small framed and could not literally hold a Beretta to save their life. The pistol itself was just too large of a frame. So with the modular system, you take the innards, you put it in a super small compact frame. Now you have something that the person can actually qualify and use. That being said, there are, you know, it's sad for SIG to do it. I think we're kind of stuck with the SIG, especially with SIG's such great track record of pistols that they've had in the past. But I'm kind of excited, really, even if it's a rumor, Taurus. Taurus has more government contracts than any other firearms manufacturer in the world. They make amazing government contract firearms. And especially the Chris Sphinx. If anybody's ever shot a Chris, they know that exactly what they're picking up is the highest quality of pistol that you could possibly get from Switzerland. So that being said, there's not much I could touch on. The 92s were blowing up in people's faces. And they stuck with those for a long time. Now, whether it was something that we should have just upgraded or gotten away from, I think going to a polymer system would have been better than just getting the A3, even though I am a big lover of the Berettas. But really, we'll kind of see what happens with the SIG. I don't think it's a bad platform. Now, if they were not tested on the same premise that everything else was tested, right, I think we should be running through tests again to see who actually the best performer is. I would really love to see H&K. H&K is by far one of the best military use pistols. Hashtag go USP.
So. And an FN option too. You know, we don't know what FN's pistol they submitted, but yeah.
Been making military pistols since basically John M. Browning gave them the 1903. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, you're right. I mean, all this is kind of new. The 30th, which was, I'm looking now, which was Tuesday, is when this DOD report dropped. So, yeah, I mean, there'll be in the next days, weeks, months, I mean, there'll be more information come out on, you know, what's going on, what the cause is, you know. I mean, some of it could be, you know, potentially, could it be ammunition? Could it be light primer? Could it be, you know, some type of an issue like that? I mean, it's a possibility with things like that. A lot of chat going on out there back and forth on if the military, you know, really needs a striker fired or a hammer fired. So I'm seeing all that from you guys out there. Link says the government contracts are poison. Take any gun and military contracts and service will tarnish its reputation. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be scrutinized, you know, for certain. G jumped in with us. How are you, G? Maybe he didn't. Oh, sweet. Do you want to chime in here?
No, you're talking about 9mm. This is garbage. Well, there, I'll just sum it up. Whatever.
The 40, but yeah.
What?
The XM18 is the 40, though, right?
Not what you're talking about. There, you're talking about the SIG.
Yeah. You got right, a 9 so, and a 40. Yeah.
I can just sum it up real quick. Whatever Night Strike said, I'll say the opposite.
The opposite. There you go. That works. Ghost, I know you're probably chomping to get in here because you probably was sad to see the M9 go. So,
I mean, I don't think it's any. I've got some thoughts on this, to say the least. Obviously, I think most people know that the M9, the Beretta 92, whatever you want to call it, that system is my favorite handgun of all time. It was my sidearm that that we were issued. I will say this. I tend to agree on parts of what Matt said and on parts that Jills was said. Both being veterans, I respect both of their opinions as well. I will say this. I am under the belief that a modular system for the military is a bad decision. What I would have liked to have seen is that these manufacturers submitted multiple caliber guns, separate systems instead of one. That being said, I'm going to go with this, and I am not a SIG fan, and I know that might cause some problems. I'm not saying they're bad guns. I just don't particularly care for SIG. That's just my personal opinion. They're great guns, but it is what it is. I would say two things. One, instead of the bidding system the government uses, there are multiple superpower, quote unquote, countries that do not do the bidding system. They say, here is what we will pay. I want you to submit your guns that fall into this budget. So everyone's on the same playing field. That being said, what I would have liked to have seen is if they were going to move from the Beretta, I would have liked for them to finally come in and say, we are going to go American companies only to supply our American soldiers, Marines, airmen, and squids. I would like to have seen Ruger American. I would have liked to have seen Colt. I would have liked to have seen Smith & Wesson. I would have liked to have seen any and all American companies only if they were going to go with a new system and a new gun. My personal opinion is I would have loved to have seen the American military say, look, yes, are there some wonderful guns that are made internationally? Yes. HK, I'll say this. If I was going to go with one, just to choose, you and I shot several of the HK VP9 systems. There's different models, different sizes. Phenomenal guns. Phenomenal. But I would have liked them say, look, here's what we're going to pay. And if that number is $250 million, whatever that number is, all right. So I want the American companies to come in and provide us the weapon systems that you would be able to make for this contract in multiple calibers. If then those products that are being submitted by the American companies are not up to the standards that the U.S. government wants, then you can open up to the international companies. That's just my personal opinion. I don't believe that we should have foreign companies, regardless of quality, regardless of anything. We have phenomenal engineering here in America. I would have loved to have seen the government say, we are going to let American companies supply our American troops. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Midnight out there says, there's fans of Glock, Sig, etc. It's crazy to think someone high up is a Sig fanboy and pushed it through. And I don't think that happened. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I think they went through their testing. I don't particularly buy what Glock is saying either, that Sig didn't do it correctly and got a pass, you know, a little bit different test or something like that. Yeah, Links, I think he said this earlier, but he's saying military service ruins the reputation of good guns. The P320 will be trashed and have its reputation ruined. The next generation of vets will say that all striker-fired polymer guns suck. So I think they'll fix it. I mean, there's a lot of love for that 92 in the Beretta, and they had problems early on with that. So I don't know. I think we're probably looking at the same thing.
Not all love for that gun.
Well, not for you. Do you like the 96, G?
I don't like any Berettas. I like U.S. guns. I grew up with 1911s. I was in service when they just switched over, and then nobody liked the stupid Beretta. It was garbage, and I'll never like the Beretta.
Right.
Until it goes on surplus, and then as soon as it goes on surplus, it'll be America's favorite gun again. It happened with all the things that came ever out happen. Of...
Well, with... you know, the next question that I want to kind of run through the panel here and just get an opinion on this. And let me go count. We had confirmed contenders. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We had 8 confirmed contenders here on this list I'm looking at. So with 8 confirmed contenders, and we were all pretty much in the loop at the time when this was going on. So my question is, do you think that they may have moved too fast with all of the testing, with all the trials and stuff on this? John?
Absolutely.
Think so? Because it wasn't just a matter of months. And I mean, you're talking that many firearms and having to go through, you know, all the different facets of what they do in different testing. Tar, what do you say?
Before you continue, with all the different facets, also different environments that you have to consider as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're talking cold environments, hot environments, wet, damp, you know, high humidity, that sort of thing. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Tar, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think they rushed through it too quick. And, you know, how much of it also comes down to SIG. You know, I don't want to say that they gave them a better gun for testing, but how much of it came down to that? And that they ended up with kind of SIG, after winning the testing, just kind of going, oh, you know, we can't really get it exactly that. Yeah. And then,
kind of backed off.
And to kind of echo Ghost, you know, they're rushing, you know, they're going for the lowest bidder. And I agree. They need to go where it's, you know, here's your money. Here's what we need for this amount. And just focus on the testing. Do as much testing as you can so you can focus just on that.
Yeah, especially when we've seen copies of books where they supposedly give $20,000 for a hammer. Of course, we all know that's not the case. They're sapping in money off the back end. But Rick, what do you think? You think they might have rushed the trials on this?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, I agree with what's name just said. There's something not right there. They jumped the gun for a reason. Whether somebody got a backhander, you don't know. I mean, look at the Pfizer report that came out today. Ain't no telling what the government's doing.
Right. Exactly. Night Strike, what do you think?
Trying to find my mute button.
Oh, there we go.
What do I think? I think we've already said enough.
Okay. So is that a yes?
Yeah.
They rushed it? Okay. Matt?
I stand by my claim that they shouldn't have bothered changing anything at all. One time I needed an M9, it did its job. That's all I ever needed.
And maybe if they had taken their time, they might have realized that too. I mean, that's what kind of goes into it.
I think somebody's just change happy. They're just like, oh, we should modernize, but there was nothing wrong with it. We're using the same cartridge.
We all know, it's like Rick said, we all know there's kickbacks and things on, you know, deals in smoky rooms and money on the back end. And I mean, we've all seen that. We all know it goes on. So, you know, there's pretty good odds that some of that was happening at some point. Anyway, Gelsma.
Mute button. But, yeah. So, oh man, it's kind of a crazy thing, because if you think of it, it took 11 years to adopt the 1911. Okay. Started in 1900. Went through a lot of adaptations against another good American company, Savage. It took 11 years. So it took how many months or years to adopt a firearm that possibly wasn't up to the standards to begin with? So why don't we just go back to the 1911? If they want a 9mm, they make those. There you go. And, I mean, 1911 is by far, I think, most of the people on this panel, their favorite handgun, and it's the handgun of America. Mm. So why not just use it?
Yeah. Yeah. Was it Patriot out there in the chat? Come on. Where's my chat? He said they rushed it because they heard President Trump was going to pick a ray gun if they didn't, you know, instead. So,
but aren't all ray guns blind?
The space modulator, maybe. Gee, what do you think? You think they may have rushed the testing on this stuff with that many pistols in contention?
This time, I agree with Night Strike. So we're talking way too much about a 9mm gun.
Ghost, what do you think?
My honest opinion is I don't think there was testing done. I don't think there was adequate testing done. I don't think that they rushed it. I don't think they had any intention of putting these weapons through rigorous testing.
You think maybe they just looked at features and fit and things like that?
I think that I'm not sure who said it earlier. I think that, and it's not the government, I think that people in general are too quick for innovation. And I will disagree with someone said that everyone in the, I do not like the 1911 platform, but I will say this. It is an American gun. I think that people are too quick to jump towards innovation. Innovation, just for the sake of innovation, is not always a good thing. I think if it's true innovation, that's going to, especially in the military side, we're not talking the civilian and law enforcement side, we're talking the military side. If you're talking about true innovation, I'm all for it. But if we're changing just to change, I honestly do not think that there was sufficient testing going on. I think that they looked at the numbers, and I'm not saying that I have proof of this. I'm not saying that any. I'm saying they see a bid that's $100 million less than the second place bid, and they said, okay, let's make this work, honestly. And that's why I think the whole bidding system, for when it comes down to government contracts and the military, I think that bidding systems should be out the door. The government should come out and say, we're willing to pay this. Give me your best platforms. I want them in multiple calibers and let the best gun win. And oh, by the way, needs to be American made. That's just, like I said, and I might be the only person in this room that feels that way. But I truly feel that innovation sometimes for the sake of innovation is not a good thing. It's something that's tested and proven, whether you like the platform or not. It makes no difference to me. It's been tested. It's been proven. There was no reason to change except for it was a monetary decision. And I truly believe that they see the figures coming in from SIG at $100 million less. And they said, we got to get this through.
Right.
I don't think there is testing hardly at all done, truly.
Now, question for the veterans we have on the panel. Just part of this article talks about, you know, not getting them into the other branches, and it talks about, you know, talking about the guys, you know, in the field being worried about it, that sort of thing. You know, in y'all's mind, I mean, would this be something concerning with you if you were still active and had to deploy, and, you know, there was the possibility that, you know, this particular handgun had issues? I know Matt's already said it, in his opinion, it got used so little that it was not that big of a deal. So I'm guessing you stand by that, right, Matt?
Dude, out of my 160 guy company, we had 10 issued, and I carried one of them, and I fired it one time in combat. The entire 2 years I carried it, I fired less than 100 rounds through it. I really don't think it's that big a deal.
Right. And, Jasmine, would it bother you any?
Yeah, it would, because the pistol was my primary carry, considering the other gear that I had to have. Right. So that being said, I don't want an inferior product at all.
Right. Not specific necessarily to, I mean, it can be a generic answer, because I know your hatred on the 9mm or whatnot, but, you know, active duty, if you had a sidearm that, you know, the DOT was reporting that potentially had issues, would that cause some concern for you out there in the field?
Nope. I didn't have one. Nobody does. They're ridiculous. We're even talking about them again. This is like talking about the flashlights and whether or not you can drop a flashlight out of a helicopter.
Right.
Occasionally somebody's using a handgun, but it's usually because they're in no danger of ever needing to use a handgun or any other kind of gun. Otherwise they just give them an M16.
Right.
So, I mean, dude, delivering the garbage, picking up garbage, you're going to get an M16, not a handgun.
Right.
So, I just don't think. I think it's an overdue amount of scrutiny, because it's all about the dance, the theater for the consumer market. That's where the real money is.
Yeah.
That's why Glock doesn't want to give a contract to the government anyway. They'll go through the motions so that they can be in these discussions, because they know that's an advantage, but they're not going to hand over their patents and stuff. I mean, some of these companies might like the idea of creating a new innovative gun, like a trigger group that's the actual firearm. And then part of the contract is they give that to the military, they give that to the government, and the government gives it to the lowest bidder to make. I mean, that's got to be a company who's willing to create, innovate, and then give away a commercial product to the military. That's devotion to this country, and I doubt SIG has that. So maybe SIG was trying to pass the trash, something that wasn't going to fly commercially. I don't
know. Yeah, and like Ghost said, that may be why, you know, Smith & Wesson jumped out. Ghost, what do you think? Would you have a concern with it?
All right, I'm going to go with this, and I think it was Matt earlier. I carried a sidearm, shot it quite a bit in training, never did even consider pulling it in action. If it comes down to you pulling your sidearm, now, Jelsma, his primary, I don't know if he was an MP or what, I don't know, But it may have been his primary weapon. I get that. For me, if I had to go with my pistol, I'm probably going hand to hand at that point. I'm being dead honest. Right. If it's to the point where I had to use my handgun, something terrible has gone very, very, very wrong. Right. That being said, is if I had a weapon system, and I don't know what other branches do, I can only go for, and I don't even know what other units do. I can go for the unit that I was with. If I had a weapon system, a handgun, a rifle, whatever one it is, but especially a handgun, if I had a handgun that I was not completely 100% confident would get the job done, I take my own. They can issue whatever they want, but they're not going to tell me that I have to carry it. And when you're in the shit, no one's going to give a shit what you're carrying.
Right.
I probably would have gone with whatever handgun that I felt comfortable carrying at the time. You can issue all you want. Doesn't mean I have to use it.
Right.
Once again, we're talking about a handgun for me was if I had to use that handgun, something, it was one of those where my legs are both broken. I'm in a hole being surrounded by 10 people with nothing else around me. That's the only time I'm ever going to pull that handgun in a combat situation. So for me, I would sit there and say, if I was still active duty and I had a weapon system that the government said was not very good, or I didn't feel that the weapon was very good, I'd probably take my own. And that's just, you know,
right.
There's ways of doing that.
Well, was it Pink out there? Several other ones have mentioned the 2011, talking about the double stack 1911. So that, yeah, I mean, that's definitely an interesting one to throw in the mix there.
And if I could, like I said earlier, and to go along what G was saying about giving proprietary patents and parts to the government, like I said, I know it says that they pulled out. From my understanding from people that I've talked to, the M&P 2.0 series of guns is the weapon system that Smith & Wesson was designing to be that military grade weapon. When they realized there was no way in hell that they were going to be able to get that bid for the price that they needed to make it at, they realized there was more money. Like G said, there was more money for Smith & Wesson to release a 2.0 and a 2.0 compact and all of those guns under the Smith & Wesson brand to the general consumer than it was to lose their ass to make an inferior product. Because regardless of what they submitted for testing, if you're going to get that low bid, and even with SIG, you and I both know that the gun that SIG is going to produce to the consumer and the one they're going to give to the government, they might be called the same damn thing, but they are not the same gun, because right. They can make more money in the consumer level than they can the government level.
Absolutely. Midnight out there says, said if you only need it, when it's hitting the fan, you want it to be the best. So basically what he's saying is it sucks if you have to pull it and it doesn't work. And I think that that's something from a civilian standpoint that we tend to focus on. That's why I wanted the opinion from the veterans on the panel here, because, you know, in a combat situation, like you guys already said, I mean, it usually in that situation, if you've got to pull it, it's a hand to hand or a knife fight or whatever at that point. So, you know, we're talking military contract here, Midnight. So, I mean, it's not really I don't see it as the same issue. So with that, let's start to close her up a little bit here. I don't know if Edge is on deck or not, but Edge of the Week, if he is up next. So
nobody's gonna eat more of this pizza. I'm gonna take the rest home then.
There you go.
Hey, save me a slice. There
you go. I actually had pizza for dinner.
So I want to give. I want to do a. How many we got out there? We got 54 out there. There's got to be like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or something that have not went over and checked out Rick's channel. So I'm going to do a gun channel blitz. I'm going to call a blitz on Rick's life as I see it. So go over there, Rick, if you would, if you're on the YouTube side or the gun channel side, just kind of say something on there so they can click on your name and get to your channel. But yeah, go over there, check out his stuff. If you like what you see, then comment on one of the videos, hashtag gun channel blitz, and help Mr. Rick out. So let's run it through the room here. One final time, I'll run through the room backwards here, and we'll let everybody do their plugs and final remarks and that kind of stuff. Ghost, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm sorry if I kind of hijacked it. I have some pretty strong feelings about.
No, I mean, it was great. It was great having you guys because, I mean, it's like Midnight was out there talking about it, you know. In a civilian situation, yes, I want a carry gun that I can be confident that if I ever have to use it, because the odds of me using it, it's the same as what you're talking about in combat to an extent. But I want it to work, you know.
Right.
You know, you guys, it's a different situation as to the depth of the scenario, I guess, when you get into that situation, plus the training that you guys have with hand to hand. And, you know, I ain't going to be able to fight hand to hand, you know, or a knife fight. I mean, it's not going to happen. So it's a different situation, and it's good to have that insight and that perspective on that. So, yeah, that all you got?
I just want to say thanks again. And guys, and we're doing Gun Channel Blitz. You know, we're trying to throw out these channels that are trying to reach certain milestones, 100 being the most, you know, the most effective for a lot of these, because you get your custom URL, you get live chats, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. But, you know, when we do this, remember, we're not doing it just to get a sub. And it's like Clover said, you know, yes, the sub is nice for these guys, but don't just sub and then go away, you know. Watch their stuff. You know, I think Rick, I know Rick was having some issues about last month trying to figure out where he wanted to go with this show. I love the fact that the Wednesday show is dedicated to shooting with a disability. And I love the fact that Wheelchair Warrior, I think that those two guys right there have a unique possibility of bringing a whole new niche that has never been tapped before. So congratulations, Rick. I think that's a wonderful idea. And let's go up there and support these guys.
He just passed 100 subs right now. He just went to 100.
You got 100?
Congratulations.
You got 100? Congratulations, Rick.
Good job. Congratulations.
Now you can get one of those customizable URLs.
There you go.
And what's the live stream?
What do you mean, what's the live stream?
When can
you already do the
attach, AdSense to it. You already do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah, you've already got that covered. So
okay.
Gee, you got anything to final remarks or plugs or anything you want to say?
We got the 500th episode of the Daily Gun Show in an hour, and we're also rebuilding Gun Channels. Anybody that wants an app, go throw money at it, because I don't want an app and I don't have any money. So if you want an app, I'll build it, but you got to pay for it. So we have Indiegogo going for that. If you want to get a set of trading cards with everybody's like channels on it, then that's the place to grab one. This will be the first run of them, official ones that everybody can grab. And it's a fundraiser, so that'll put money into Gun Channels. And then we'll be doing some live chats here in the next days to get the decks figured out. Either we're going to do it like baseball cards, or we're going to do it like a Magic the Gathering or Pokemon or some sort of a game. And then we'll start building them, and then they'll go to print sooner than later so that we have them by Tulsa for sure.
Very cool. Yeah, very cool. Jelzma, what you got?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you very much again, Clover. Congratulations, Rick. And I'm looking forward to the 500th episode there, G. But we also got Spec Ops Sunday. Let's see, I had it written down. Spec Ops Sunday at 7:15 CST. Gun Gals after that at 8:30 CST on Sunday.
What is this? What are these shows? I didn't hear about these yet.
Spec Ops Sunday is basically going to be around prepping and survival and civilian defenders. And then Gun Gals is whatever Liz wants it to be about. It's mostly going to be women and firearms. And I think she said she was mad at a company for making something pink or purple and calling it female. So
there you go. But
anyway.
All right. Matt, What you got, bud?
Dude, Rick, congratulations. You know what? To celebrate, I'm going to go make a cake, and then I'm going to eat it.
There you go. And eat it too. So he's going to bake his cake and eat it too, he says. So
he can have his cake and eat it too, can he?
There you go. Nice strike. Well, you're up.
Yeah, that's what cake is for.
Yeah. Hit or miss, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Rick?
All right, I want to say thank you to everybody to get me over to 100 there. I really appreciate it. They're coming in now, so I preach the shout out. It's done the trick. And I'm going to be the two-bit creator that self-promotes. Saturdays, 3 p.m. Eastern time. That's the Rick's Life as I see it. That's my normal one-hour talk show, guns, politics, anything else that crosses my mind. Then on Wednesday night, 7 p.m., Rick's Life I See It, Shooting with Disabilities. And that's, you know, a little niche I think we can get into. And you don't have to be disabled to join the chat. You might have some input that might help us, you know, that you've seen or you've done, or if you're a, if you, you know, taught people how to shoot, you might have taught somebody who was handicapped. You can pass that info on to us. So that's it. Thanks.
Awesome. Tardot.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, and check out Clearing the Chamber tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you check out Gunpowder Beauty's channel also. I'll throw a little plug in for her. And congratulations, Rick, and congratulations, G, on the 500th episode. That's awesome.
Yeah, right on. So you have a show tomorrow night, and there's another Chicks show tomorrow night?
No, me and Gunpowder are both on Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Central. With Clearing the Chamber. Yeah.
Are all you guys posting them on, simulcasting them on gun channels?
I am. We are simulcasting. I go through every night and simulcast it over there.
Right on. So, yeah, let's make sure they're on the schedule, because I don't know if we've been promoting them. We'll be sure to promote the Saturday and Sunday shows I just found out about.
I just put Jelsma, and I think it was Jelsma and maybe Budget or something, on the schedule just the other day. They weren't even on there.
Right. I think I shot Night Strike an email on that.
On what?
Right.
Dude, getting it on the schedule, man.
I can see that coming from a mile away. Huh? What?
I figured it was Night Strike's fault. There you go.
Hashtag blame Night Strike. John Z.
Hey, yeah, thank you for the invite. Glad to be here. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Didn't get to hear a response yet with the winner's information from the live chat I did yet. So I'm going to be doing another chat. I don't know if it's recorded. I'm going to be giving away the same watch since I had nobody collect the same watch from the last viewer appreciation giveaway. So I'm going to be doing it again soon, so please stand by for that.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens, but it happens sometimes.
Well, it was someone from this community. I don't know, but nobody reached out to me.
right so Rick said he thought he won.
You won.
Who was it? I could be that person if you need me to.
Come on, dude, you just got 100 subs, now you want to watch? What? Come on. We're being greedy, Rick.
Yeah, Rick, don't be so gritty.
Well, see, I can give it away from my 100th, hitting the 100
that's
mark.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
But
that's
I have true. Plenty of other junk I can send you if you want to give it away.
Right. So, we're going to get out of here. I'm going to echo that. Congratulations again, Rick. And here in, what, about an hour is the 500th Deadly Gun Show. So that's going to be a good one you want to check out. And also, before I leave, want to give a shout out to Andrew Faulkner and Pink. Andrew came on as a marksman patron, and Pink is a practical level.
Very nice.
So thanks to those guys for that. And for everybody out there that didn't watch the live stream earlier, the little mail call, everything from SHOT Show came in.
I heard the knife was not in the box, though.
No, geez, no, it was there.
I'm just joking. So I wanted to try to start something.
I got
to
do a review on that and then send it on to somebody else. But, yeah, everything was there. I was worried with the first box I got out of the four being damaged. I was worried that if they ever came, half the stuff was going to be missing and all that. There was like no damage to these three boxes. So how they got all routed, apparently they sent them to New York City or something, and then they had to come back around. I don't know what happened to
New York City. You're lucky you got everything back.
I'll bet you a lot of stuff streams out of, you know, Las Vegas between our 65,000 people attending SHOT Show and then that concrete show is just as big or bigger.
Yeah.
I'll bet you a lot.
That's true. That's a good point and something I didn't think about, G. But that's very possible. It got mixed, got on the wrong plane or truck or who knows. So, but it got here. It's okay. So I'll start streaming that out to, first of all, those that helped with the SHOT Show fundraiser and then patrons, and then once I kind of get all of that situated now out of the way, we'll do some giveaways here and there on some patches and stickers and other swag. So with that, we are gonna close her up. Thank you for watching. Remember, guys, it's Friday, so get out, have a good weekend, get to the range if you can, spend time with friends, family, just enjoy the weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye.